You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Let's say your phone rings. You look at the caller ID. You don't recognize the number, so you let it go to voicemail. Later, you get around to checking your message, and it sounds something like this.
From the headquarters, which will get expired in next 24 working hours. And once it get expired after that, you will be taken under custody by the local police, as there are 4 serious allegations pressed on your name at this moment.
Uh-oh. Then it goes on to say you should call right back before any legal action is taken. A study that came out in February said about half the calls you receive on your cell phone this year will be some form of spam. Another company estimated that nearly 48 billion robocalls were made in 2018, a 57% increase over the previous year. So what's being done to address these unwanted calls, and what can we do to protect ourselves? Sarah Krause is a telecommunications reporter with the Wall Street Journal. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, is it just us, or are we getting more and more of these weird calls over the years?
It is not just you. This is definitely a problem that's on the rise, and it ranges from the annoying to the downright dangerous that targets vulnerable populations. So it is a problem, and it is a growing problem.
That's a good point, because robocalls covers a lot of ground. It could be a legit business legitimately trying to advertise something. It could be a political campaign. And like you said, that might be annoying. It could be some form of scam operation. Do we have a breakdown of how much of each of those we're getting?
It's really hard to break down, and that's part of why stopping these things is very hard, because there are legitimate forms of robocalls. So if you think about that as one bucket, that could be a political campaign, it could be your child's school telling you that it's a snow day, it could be a doctor telling you, you know, that you have an appointment coming up, or a pharmacy saying you have a prescription ready. But when you start to cross into, and then there's another category, which is legitimate businesses calling you, but perhaps they're calling you at the wrong time, or like, you know, too late at night or too early in the morning. There you have a category of legitimate businesses calling you in an inappropriate way. And then you get into the sort of spam end of the spectrum, where it's illegitimate companies that are trying to steal your financial information or steal your money. And that becomes sort of the most nefarious form of it.
There are proposals for changes in the law, federal and state level, actually. What of what you just said is actually already illegal?
Well, a lot of it. So, you know, calling people at the wrong time of day, calling people who are on the do not call list, spoofing a number that you don't have the right to use or make a call from, you know, all those are different forms of violations. Calling people who you don't have their permission to call using an auto dialer is also, you know, sending out millions of calls in a short period of time. Like, all of that are problems that there are rules that are meant to stop, and that behavior is not legal, especially by companies that seek to, you know, steal financial information or threaten you in any way. But cracking down on it has proved to be incredibly difficult.
Let's talk about that spoofing for a minute. We've got a couple lawmakers here in Wisconsin at the state level working on a bill that would make displaying a fake number illegal. The state's attorney general says he's on board with this plan. I've seen this. I get what turns out to be a spam call, but it's get out. It's coming from inside the area code. This is something that we're seeing a lot lately.
Yes. And spoofing, you know, spoofing is a good example of why some of this stuff is hard, because there are legitimate forms of spoofing. So if you were a doctor and you wanted to call a patient from your cell phone and you didn't want them to necessarily have that personal contact detail, that's a situation in which you might want to spoof your number to just your generic office number. But that same technology that can be used for something like that can also be applied in nefarious ways, or in, you know, by wrongdoers to make it look like they are calling you from close by. And that's called neighbor spoofing. That's something that has become a particular problem, where scammers will try to get you to answer the phone because it looks like they're calling from a local business or a neighbor. So that is, you know, one of the forms of this that has really sort of spun out of control more recently.
Talking to Sarah Krause, telecommunications reporter for the Wall Street Journal, about robocalls, the growth of, and efforts to rein them in at the federal level. And Sarah, let's get into that. There's work afoot in Congress, some bipartisan support to make some changes. What kind of things are they looking at?
Yes. So just this week, a Senate committee advanced a bill that would give the FCC more time, the Federal Communications Commission more time to bring cases. Right now, they only have a year to piece together all the evidence that they have of wrongdoing and bring a formal case. This would expand that time horizon to 3 years. It ups the potential fines they can levy. It gives Congress the ability to push that agency to mandate carriers to start verifying calls. So it comes at the problem a few different ways, but the net effect is to try to make the penalties for wrongdoing on this stiffer and to give regulators more time to pursue these cases.
Let's talk about those penalties. You've reported on this. The FCC has levied big numbers of fines, but collected a relatively small proportion of that. What's going on?
Yes, and this is another corner of the robocall world that is like a yes, but. So, you know, the FCC and the FTC have levied, you know, billions of penalties or tried to recoup ill-gotten gains, and there's often like a very big headline fine associated with that. But if you peel it back and look at what the government is actually able to collect, it's much smaller. So on the FCC, you know, in the last 3 years for various robocall violations, they've ordered wrongdoers to pay about $200 million. But of that, they've collected less than 7,000, or the government, I should say, has collected less than 7,000. And that's in part because the FCC can't actually collect the fines that it levies. It has to send them to the Justice Department, which can then decide to pursue or settle or drop the cases altogether. So the net effect of that is, while headline fines are a deterrent for legitimate businesses that don't want their name associated with that, if you're a scammer, if you're, you know, just a small shop that's a wrong, you know, that's done wrong, it doesn't really faze you that much because the government's not able to collect that much of it. It's also really easy for smaller robocallers to just close down and set up shop under a different name, or they might not have the assets to pay the fine. So there's lots of reasons why, in the end, some of what regulators fine is not collected.
The idea is, I guess, that these fines are a deterrent, but if they're collecting 7,000 out of 200 million, does anybody really think that's a huge deterrent?
Right. It definitely sort of loses its teeth when you realize how difficult it is to actually collect that money. And that starts to bring us to another problem here, which is a lot of illegal calls. It's hard to quantify, to be clear, just how many. But some of this is coming from overseas, where our regulators don't have jurisdiction, and it can be hard to tell where a call is coming from. If they're spoofing a number that looks like it's a U.S. number, but actually it's being made from a call center overseas, you know, that's nearly impossible for our regulators to crack down on.
Do we have any idea for the worst of this, the actual fraud stuff where they're trying to get your credit card or your social security number or whatever? Do we know who the bad guys are?
It's hard to say. I mean, there have been cases brought against. There are some recidivist robocallers that have been named a couple of different times in different suits. But there's not the sort of list of businesses whose names you would recognize, you know, that I can rattle off right now.
Is it useful for people to report these? I assume most people are like me. You note their existence and move on with your life. Is it any benefit to enforcers, to the government, if people report it to, I don't know who?
It is, and here's why. It helps give them leads for cases to pursue. So a lot of identifying who's making robocalls is about pattern spotting, and that's actually the way a lot of the robocall blocking apps work, which is to sort of create a honeypot of numbers and then see where the calls are coming in from and start to do forensic work to trace those back to find out who's making them. And that's how regulators pursue those cases, is to try to piece together, you know, the patterns in those calls, which numbers are being used to make these calls, et cetera. So though it feels hopeless, and I totally get that it feels that way to a lot of consumers, it is helpful for regulators to at least get the report that, hey, I got this number from this number at this time, and this is what they promised or were hawking, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
And we've been talking, we're focusing on robocalls, but people get texts and, of course, famously emails. Is that all part of the same enforcement picture, or because it's an email and not a call, is somebody else enforcing that?
Yeah, the emails would start to split off of the telecommunications system. The telephone sort of regulatory domain would extend to text messages, though. So yes, the voicemail drops, the text messages and calls are all sort of related to this problem.
We're talking about unwelcome robocalls and texts and emails and what's being done about them. Sarah Krause is with us, telecommunications reporter with The Wall Street Journal. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How often are you getting these unwanted communications? Do you ignore them? Have you taken action? Have you reported them? Have you tried an app to block calls and texts coming in on your cell phone? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about all the robocalls and unwanted texts and emails that we get and what's being done to stop them. Wall Street Journal telecommunications reporter Sarah Krause stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How big a problem are robocalls to you on your landline and or cell phone? What do you want to do when you get one? What do you do when you get one? Have you ever reported one to some form of authority? And do you have questions about how this all works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Daniel is with us in Prairie du Sac. Daniel, hello.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me. It is really annoying to get all these calls. I get several a day. One of the tactics I like to use is keeping them on the line as long as I can, just feeding them fake information, because I know there's really nothing I can do to report it to any authorities, but I figure if I can keep them on the line as long as possible, then at least they're not scamming someone else who might actually fall for that nonsense. But yeah, that's one thing I like to do.
And Daniel, so you're getting a human calling you, not just the recorded message, is that right?
I get the recorded message, and then there's usually a callback number. So I'll call that number.
You call them back. And then,
yeah, just because, I don't know, it's really frustrating. And instead of feeling like I can't do anything about it, I want to see who I'm talking to, get to know them. And they're always given a fake name, like, hey, this is Officer James Brown, which is obviously fake. And so I'll give them fake information back and just try to lie to them as long as possible, so that way they're not talking to someone else who might actually fall for them.
All right, Daniel, thanks a lot for calling in. So, Daniel, Sarah took it a step further. So, yeah, you get the recorded message.
You know,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Well, I was going to say that his approach is there's literally hundreds of robo-blocking apps, but the approach that he is taking is one that RoboKiller, one of the apps, takes, which is to waste their time, taking the view that, like, a robocaller's time is their most valuable resource. And so, as that caller just said, if I'm wasting their time on the phone, they're not calling other people, or they're losing money because I'm taking up so much of their time. And they've actually made chatbots to keep you on the line as long as possible.
Interesting. Thanks for that call. But then you're having to waste your own time to do it, too.
Now, well, right.
Now, there are still live, I guess, telemarketers out there. That is still a different legal category, right, than robocalls?
Yes. And there are, I mean, to be clear, there are legal forms of robocalls. And you, by virtue of the relationship you have with your financial institution, for example, if you owe them money, they may have a right to call you per your user agreement. So there are some forms of robocalls that you consent to when you agree to do business with a certain institution. And so, yes, there are, that is still a form that can fall into the legitimate category.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Steve now in West Bend. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A real specific thing that irritates me, and I'm wondering if it's illegal or not, and then I'm going to say that it should be, is a robocall that, especially related to political ads, endorsements. It's a robocall that I answer on my landline, and I recognize what it is. I don't want to listen to it, so I hang up. But then 3 seconds later, I want to use the phone, and the message, the robocall, is still on the line. I can't disconnect it. Is that illegal? And you understand what I'm saying. I think it should be.
I gotcha, Steve. I've had that back in my landline days. I did get that specifically with political robocalls. Is that just a weird quirk of our phone system, Sarah? Or is that, I don't know, is there a technology that lets them keep us from hanging up?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I've never heard of it still being on the line once you've hung up. That's new to me. And it doesn't sound like the kind of thing that's supposed to happen. I mean, certainly political robocalls are allowed. But in terms of not hanging up and that signal not being disconnected, that's new to me. I confess.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Now, before we go back to callers, there are these do not call lists, Sarah. What does that technically block from calling us?
Well, so that blocks legitimate businesses that want to play by the rules that don't call the people on it. It really doesn't do a whole lot of good for people who are committed to doing the wrong thing, and or to scammers who are placing robocalls. So the do not call list, to be very clear, is not going to protect you from all robocalls, as I think most people listening to this know already. So it's the kind of thing that a lot of people shake their fist about because it's frustrating, because you think, well, I did the right thing. I put my name on it. Why am I still getting calls? Well, you're still getting calls because scammers don't care that you're on the do not call list. Legitimate businesses may not call you because you're on that. They don't want to be slapped with a fine for that kind of violation. But scammers don't care.
Thanks for that call, Steve. We'll go now to Deanne in Rice Lake. Deanne, hi.
Hi. I was just, I feel like I'm being terrorized. There's a company that calls me hourly, like 12 times a day. I've tried blocking their numbers, but they just keep on coming up with more numbers. I've got 16 of their numbers blocked already, and they just keep on coming up with more numbers. What can a person do? I feel like it's a form of harassment.
Deanne, thanks. So, Sarah, have we seen this kind of, just non-stop calling from the same robocaller?
Yeah, I mean, that would fall in the category of something to report to regulators for sure, either the FCC or the FTC or both. There are instances that I've heard of where there are business calls coming through, maybe in the case of debt collectors, where they're particularly aggressive and make repeated calls multiple times a day, day after day. And in those cases, I've seen instances of private actions brought against the company. So if it's a company that's, you know, leaving their name and saying who's calling, I've seen, consumers work with a plaintiff's attorney to, you know, file a case under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act as well. But it depends on the circumstance of your user agreement, if it is a company that you've agreed to do business with.
Deanne, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And good luck to you. We're talking about robocalls, efforts to tighten up the laws at the federal level. There's also a work here in the state. Sarah Krause is with us from the Wall Street Journal. By the way, the FCC reporting line, our producer looked that up for us. It is 1-888-CALL-FCC. You spell that out, or their number is, I'll do the number out now. Get a pen. 1-888-225-5322. Back to your calls now. Matt is on the line in Milwaukee. Matt, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm self-employed, so I have to answer the phone every time it rings, and 80% of the time it's a robocall, and I have a smartphone, and sometimes it'll say spam, which is awesome because you can just swipe no, but a lot of times you'll get unavailable, or you'll have blocked calls, and I'll still have to answer those phone calls. And I'll do like the last guy Daniel said. I'll try and waste as much of the time as I can. It's a nuisance. And then sometimes, like your other person was saying, the phone numbers report the numbers. You know, half of these numbers, they'll come up as a completely strange or a weird phone number from out of state or out of the country, and there's no way you can really do anything about that. There's not a legit number to even report.
And Matt, are you doing business with people outside of the state? So even if it's outside your 414 there, say, you still want to answer that?
Yes. I have, you know, I've got customers that'll call me from all over the country, so I need to be able to answer this phone, and I can't tell which is real and which is fake half the time, which is, it wastes so much time, you know?
Matt, thanks a lot. Sorry that's happening to you. You know, I remember in the early days of cell phones, Sarah, they didn't get spam calls. What happened that they found all our numbers?
Yeah, well, I mean, spam calls used to be easier to sort of, they used to be more costly to make when you're making them over a landline. When you start to move into a mobile phone world, enter the internet and voice calls, and it becomes a lot cheaper to make lots of calls very quickly. And so that's part of why this has blossomed so much. And to that caller's point, it does waste a lot of time and money, particularly if you're a small business and you can't afford to just ignore calls. And so I did want to talk about a couple of other things that are in the works. So if you have to answer the phone, it's worth asking your wireless carrier if they have any kind of free spam filtering service. Sometimes you need to call them to have it activated. It's not just automatically included or turned on. There are hundreds of apps, some of which are free, some of which you pay for. And there's also an effort underway in the industry. It's a call verification system that basically will show eventually on a consumer screen like a green check mark that says the person that is calling has the right to use the phone number that they're calling from. And that's an effort to crack down on those moments that that caller was describing where you see a number and you think, oh man, is this a scam or should I answer it?
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Carl now in Kenosha. Carl, hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I used to get a lot of robocalls, and what I've started doing is thinking that the people who are talking to me are working for a scam corporation. So what I tell them is if they feel they're working for a scam company, they can call the FBI and go on and give information about that company, and they can get a reward for giving information. And most of my calls have stopped. I get it.
Carl, thanks a lot. A lot of people have their own tactics. Sarah, what do you watch for? What's the progress now in Congress for at least this one change to robocall rules?
Right. So that bill advancing was sort of a step forward, and now it goes to the full Senate, and we'll see what happens there. The one thing that I will say in terms of various forms of revenge that some consumers have told me about is if you call back the number that a robocaller leaves in a voicemail, that is one thing, and you are likely to get through to a human eventually. But if you are calling back just the number that you see on your screen to yell or to, verbally attack, you might want to be careful because you might be calling someone who doesn't know that their number has been used in that way. So sometimes robocallers will spoof a number that belongs to, say, you or me. We have no idea that our number is being used in that way. And then the annoyed consumer on the receiving end of that phone call may call us back and yell and say, why are you calling me? How dare you? And we have no idea what they're talking about. So that's the only point of advice that I would say let's be careful about.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Sarah Krause, telecommunications reporter for The Wall Street Journal. She joined us for a look at robocalls, why they're on the rise, and what's going on in Congress to try to deal with them. Again, that FCC number is 1-888-CALL-FCC if you want to report robocalling. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, President Trump and Democrats in the U.S. House are at odds on a whole bunch of stuff, from tax returns to security clearances. We'll look at the latest in congressional oversight efforts. Plus, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. Our guests will share some of their biggest food failures, and you can call in with yours, too. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's The Morning Show. Tomorrow at 6, run to the hills, and then keep on running, because you're running in a marathon. Kate Archer-Kent and her guests look at Wisconsin's long-distance running season, half marathons, marathons, triathlons, and beyond. You can share your experiences, too. That's tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we'll talk with a Wisconsin professor of intellectual history about the ideas that made America and how they've changed over the decades. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.